Jane, she had the highlight of the evening. Actually, we did not really see much except water running down on the windshield. And they told us about the pilot, but she got the better look at the whole situation. I'm looking how much time I have. Well, we have to be here tomorrow also, so I don't want you to have to go to bed so late. But I want to thank you so very much for inviting me to be with you. That's my first time to be in Wisconsin. And then after I landed and checked into the hotel, the first thing was that I looked for the thermostat and I turned the heating up until 80 to get warm. But I'm doing all right now. And I want to bring you greetings from Claudia Edwards. And I think many of you know her. And she really would have liked to come as well because she got a new, I think it's a, is it a great-granddaughter, I think, isn't it? Her grandson married and they have a little girl. And there must be the mother. Yeah. Well, very good. She was telling me, you get to see her before I get to see her. So she's really looking forward to come down here. But she loves you all very much. And she is talking a lot about this church and the ladies here. And, of course, I asked her, how is this church and how are the ladies? And she said, oh, don't worry, they are wonderful. You know, most of the time I'm not talking to American ladies. Most of the time I'm sharing with our sisters in India and some of the other countries. And it is very different. You here have heard so much about the Lord. You have a pastor and you have teachers. And you know all the basic things of the Bible. You know more if you are 1 year in a Calvary chapel than many pastors on the mission field know. Most of the ladies, last year I went about 5 times to India, and this year about 3 times in Sri Lanka and some of the other countries. And we have gatherings of ladies. Most of our people over there are first-generation Christians. They have come fresh from Hinduism in the last few years, have come to know the Lord. We have now over 9,000, probably close to 10,000 churches and about 7,000 fellowships that are in the process of becoming churches. And so we have thousands and thousands of new believers that come from non-Christian backgrounds that have no clue about what the Bible teaches, but the Lord is giving them so much favor. You know, they have a very simple faith, they pray, and the Lord answers them, and they are so hungry to learn. So one of my parts that I'm doing over there is to have ladies' seminars, and we talk about being a Christian wife, how to raise children, and many of these, how to be a godly wife, and husband and wife, and all these wonderful things. And sometimes, or quite a number of times, we have, my audience is maybe 60-70% illiterate, but these ladies are so hungry. You know, when I first started doing these seminars, I was thinking, these illiterate ladies, how can they possibly sit still and listen to hours and hours of teachings? It will be maybe 15 hours of teaching over 3 days. But they sit and they listen so carefully, much more than I have found anywhere else. And I remember last year I had a meeting in Nepal We flew into the plains with a very tiny little airplane. It landed on the grass, and we had a ladies' seminar, and they invited about 250 ladies from many of the churches we have in the country of Nepal, and they told them each church can send 5 ladies. So we would have 250 to 300 ladies because of the place was only that big. But when the seminar started, we had 600 of them. And you couldn't move, you couldn't even walk into the building. We had to go around the building to come through the back door just to be able to get in. And our leaders, they were calling the officers, what shall we do? We only prepared lunch for 300 people. And we have only accommodations for that many. What shall we do? And some of these ladies walked for 9 days through the mountains. And some of them never in their life had seen a car, never had been to a city, never had been down in the plains. And they came, and when our leaders asked why so many come, they said, don't you think we need fellowship too? And so we had a wonderful time with these sisters. And when the seminar was finished, they all came and hugged us and kissed us. We were worn out from the hugging and kissing. But, you know, it's to me the most wonderful thing is to help these new believers come to know the Lord Jesus a little bit more, and to take it back to their villages in the remote areas of Asia. And then they will tell me, you know, what you told us, we will tell in our church to the other sisters, so they can learn something too. And maybe sometime this tomorrow, and a little bit on Sunday, maybe I can share with you a little bit more about what's happening in the ministry. Now, tonight, Jane was telling me, I asked her on the way from the airport to the hotel, what do you want me to say tonight, because this is a little bit of different setting. And she was telling me, well, we like to get to know you. And so Jane was thinking I should share some of my testimony. Now, Jane doesn't know me. I don't really talk too much about myself. I like to talk about the stories of our missionaries, but it might be good just a little bit to talk what we are doing as a family, and a little bit how I came to know the Lord. And I would like to maybe start out with, you know, you have the theme for this conference, Consider Your Call. Now, maybe for you, it means something different. Vacation, this teenage vacation was for another week. And after that, I had to go home. But about 2 days after I got saved, I was walking with some of my friends on the sidewalk, and they were saying to me, after you finish high school, well, what will you do with your life? Before that, I did not know what I was going to do with my life, but at that moment when they asked me, I knew the Lord was calling me to give my life for missions. I didn't hear a voice, I didn't have an altar call or anything. But at that moment, I knew God wanted my life for missions. And from that moment on, that was the only thing I ever wanted. I never thought of anything else. And from that day on, that became my only goal for my life. Now, after these 2 weeks, I went home, and at home it was very different. You know, of course, my father thought I had become a religious fanatic. And, you know, when I prayed, sometimes I cried, and if he would ever see a tear or something, he would get very angry. I didn't do many things anymore that I used to do. And it was very difficult. But I wanted to follow the Lord, and I knew He called me, and I kept that in my heart. Now, I had many questions about my new life. I couldn't go to a church like that. And maybe only once a year I could go to a place like that. And so I had so many questions about my salvation, or I had some struggles or some different things come up. So what I would do, I would sit down and write that pastoral letter that led me to the Lord. He lived about 350 kilometers somewhere else. And he would write me back and give me the answer, give me a Bible verse. And whatever he said, I absolutely believed it, and I lived that. And he and his wife prayed for me. And these letters next to the Bible, I kept them in a small folder. And I read the Bible, I read these letters, whatever they said I would do, because I wanted to follow the Lord. I did not get any help from my parents or from my relatives, but the Lord helped me through others. And then one day, I wrote this pastor and said, I believe the Lord has called me for missions. And the pastor, he wrote an advice to me that became the most important guideline for my life as I was growing up. He wrote to me, if the Lord has called you, you must put God's call first in your life, above anything else, above friendship, above job, above marriage. And when I read that, I decided I would live in the light of this, that God's call must come first in my life, that nothing should come into my life that would hinder me to do what God has called me to do. It was some of the decisions I had to make. I had to make them by myself because my family could not help me. It was very difficult for my people to understand. You know, of course, I was still in school. I was just 14. And I remember we had school parties and functions, and some of the things that were going on during that time, I could not participate because I knew God called me. Sometimes I would be the only one to refuse to participate. I had to be there for these functions, but I would not participate in things that I felt would deter me from the call of God on my life. My father belonged to some club, and he would take me and my sister for this club social life. And I remember we would go there and take part in whatever they were doing there. And one evening, when we were on the way home, I was sitting in my father's car in the back seat, and I thought about the evening. It had been somewhat fun. But then the Lord started talking to my heart. He said, if you go to this kind of lifestyle, you will lose your interest. Your heart will become divided. I said, Lord, I will never go again. And I kept that. It was very hard for my father to understand. There were many other things like this. I decided that I had to plan. Of course, I was planning in my mind what all I want to do to go to the mission field. And many times, you know, it was very hard to wait. If you are 14 years old and you have to wait until you finish school, then you have to learn a trade. In Germany, most of the missions require a social profession before they will ever accept you. And if you want to learn a social profession, you have to have at least half a year to a year of home economics school. And if you don't have a social profession, then you only can go to a Bible school. So to me, many times I would write these things down on a piece of paper and count the months and the years I have to wait until I go. And I was thankful for every day that was passed. You see, when God calls you, the call of God will grow in your heart. It will not become smaller. And it will consume your life. And I experienced that in my life. Now, when I was 19, I was already in nursing school. And when I was 19, I wanted to join a church where there are other believers. I came home and I told my father and my mother, my family, that I would leave our state church to belong to another church where there are believers. And it was very, very hard for them because they were very traditional people. My first, they were very angry. You know, I wanted to get baptized and I wanted to join other believers in worshiping the Lord. And so my father was very angry. And they tried their best to tell me that I make a wrong decision. But in the end, my father said to me, I require from you that you go to the place where I was born in that village and you talk to the Lutheran pastor there. Now, you need to remember in these Lutheran churches, there was no preaching of repentance and faith and all this. None of these churches were like that. You never heard anything like it. So I went to my father's village. First I went for a few hours to pray into the forest. And then I took my Bible. I went to that pastor. And I rang the doorbell. He looked out the window and he said, "What do you want?" I said, "My father sent me. I want to leave the church and join a believer's church. And he wants you to talk to me." So he talked to me for about an hour, trying to convince me that I was so wrong. And then after that, I went home, and then I went to see the Lutheran pastor of our village. And I talked to him. I told him the same thing. I told him how the Lord saved me. And so in the end, it came down to that I had to sign a paper where they told me, "You cannot be, we will not marry you, we will not bury you if you die. You can't be good father, a good mother, you know, for all these things. You can't take Lord's Supper." And so I had to sign this paper. And I came home. I was very, very happy because I was following the Lord. But I came home to my family was crying. It was very, very difficult for them. Everybody knows you in the village. And very soon it made the round in the village what I had done. But at that day when I came home, my father told me, "I will never forgive you for the rest until I die." But, you know, to me it was joy because I belong to the Lord. He called me. I follow him. And I need to hurry. In so many things, the Lord helped me to stand alone and to follow him. And God's call, I wanted it to come first in my life. Of course, I started to witness on the streets. I couldn't find anyone to come with me, so I went by myself. For about a year, I would go by myself, and I would talk to people, no one showed me how to witness or whatever. I just had such a love in my heart for people to point them to the Lord. Of course, it was in 74 when I got saved, so it was the 70s and 80s. And after a year, I had 25 young other people with me. We were a team. We would go to the villages. We would go house to house. And then as soon as I finished my nursing training, I wanted to go to join a gospel team, Operation Mobilization. And to me, the nursing training was just one step to the next thing, what I want to do, to serve the Lord. And I remember I graduated in the morning and my bags were already packed. My friends, they were looking forward for a job and making money, and my family, they were telling me, please, you work at least for a year and make some money, or if you don't want to do that, take at least a few months rest before you have done all these exams and all this studying. And I said, I waited so long. I need to go now. And after 3 days, I joined a team, Operation Mobilization Team in Europe. And later on, I went to India as well. And maybe I want to say something regarding the decision for my marriage. You know, I knew when God called me that I need to put God first in my life. The call of God has to come first. So to me, it was very clear, I cannot marry an unbeliever. I cannot marry a normal believer. I cannot even marry a pastor. The only person I could marry would be someone whom God called for foreign missions. And to me, I decided, if God brings a person like that, it's okay. Otherwise, I'd rather stay alone. But God's call must come first in my life. And that is the way I lived as a young person. The Lord didn't want me to go around dating and having all kinds of relationships. He wanted me to follow Him and to trust Him. And of course, you all know that I'm married to K.P. Johannan. And our marriage is, of course, Indian. He's from India, I'm from Germany. But it's based on the foundation of the Lord and at the call He has given us. And so we work together for Him now. And maybe most of you have read some of our materials or heard about it, what the Lord has done over the last 20 years or 25 or more in our ministry. And I can say God was so faithful. But you know, the training that God brought me through to stand by myself, to follow Him, to put God's call first, maybe that was the most important lesson for my life. See, I had to learn that God becomes the strength, the source of my strength. My parents couldn't be the source of my strength. My teachers, my peers. It had to become the Lord. And you only learn that if you go through difficulties and you have to stand. Now, I don't know your life and your situation, but I'm sure if you walk with the Lord, you can maybe testify to very similar things. See, the things that we think that are the difficulties in our life, in our Christian walk, are actually the things that make us strong. We have to two children, Daniel and Sarah. Daniel is 26, Sarah is 22. When they finished high school, they both decided that they will go to India and go to a Bible school in India and become missionaries. We didn't tell them they have to be. Of course, we prayed for their life. But they both made the decision they want to follow the Lord and serve the Lord. And since they are out of high school now, they are in India, both of them, and working in the ministry. And maybe I will share with you a little later on what they are doing. But I thought in the last few minutes I want to say something about my father. You know, I don't want to leave it like this. My father told me, you know, he won't forgive me until his death or even beyond that. You know, about 2 years before my father died, he became very, very sick. And I got this call from my people that I should come. They did not know if father would live. And during that time, I went home and I talked to him and I said to him, Father, did you ever ask Jesus into your life? He said, not like you do. I said, would you like to have the Lord? And he said, if he wants me. I said, he wants you. And I said, you can invite him in your heart. And he didn't know what to pray, so I said, I will pray, and you repeat that, and you mean that in your heart. Now, my father was 76, I think, at that time. And he prayed and received the Lord that day. 2 years later, a few days before he died, he talked to my mother. My mother told me that later. And she was saying, you know, just before he died, he said to me, you know, Gisela is my favorite because she helped me to get to know Jesus. He said, because of that, I know now that I can go to heaven. It took my father many, many years to come to that. But, you know, if we want to stand for the Lord and we want to be faithful, the Lord is faithful to his promises as well. Now, I think we got just 2 or 3 minutes left on none of them. And I have to tell you so many things. I wish to talk to you a lot about the mission field. But you know, when I look back over the life when I was growing up, and I only told you a very few things of my life, I could talk to you for a few hours. You know, I'm really thankful that I went through some of the difficult times where I had to stand alone. You know, when I talk to many of our Bible school students, when I meet the brothers and sisters on the field, I can understand them. Of course, they go through much, much more. But they have to be able to stand alone as new Christians. And I know the Lord is able to help them, to make them stand. I remember very well when I first time went to Nepal. At that time, there was no democracy there yet. And the Christians were meeting in underground churches. And we went to this one underground church. And at that day, one of the brothers had come from a 3-year prison sentence. And he came back to his church to report to them. He was saying, for these 3 years, I was looking out the window. All I could see was this one blade of grass in the yard. And after the church was over, I was talking to some of the brothers and sisters there, and there was one young brother, and they introduced him to me, and they said, "This is Ramesh. He's one of the elders in his church." I was looking and I was thinking, "Dear me, this elder looks so young." And I asked, "Brother, how old are you?" Or I asked the person that interpreted for me, "How old is he?" And they said, "He's 17. And he's a carpenter also." I said, "You know, how can he be an elder if he's 17? And they told me his story. They said, one day, a missionary, one of the native missionaries, came to Ramesh village and shared the gospel in that village. And this young boy, 14 years old, was the only one that responded to the gospel message and gave his life to Christ. The result was, he was kicked out from his home. He had to quit school. He was kicked out of the village. He was not allowed to live there anymore. So he lived all by himself in a small little grass hut. Outside, he had to try to make a living on his own. He was 14 years old. So he started to do some carpentry work. But through the faithfulness of this young man, young brother, 14 years old, 40 people in his village got saved. And there is a church now. And he became one of the elders because he was the oldest one and the first Christian there in that whole place. Our young people on the mission field, first generation Christians, many, many of our students come from very similar homes. They have to pay a high, high price when they become Christians. Some of them are never able to go back to their homes, to their villages. Many have left everything, but they got Jesus. And they have to put God's call first in their life. And they love the Lord more than this world. But see, that is not just for me when I was 14 years old. That was a long time ago. Or for our brothers and sisters in India and Nepal and Bhutan. It is for each one of us as well. When God calls us, don't take it lightly. Your call to follow the Lord, to be a witness for Him, to be a child of God, need to become the most important thing in your life before everything else. You might be an office worker, but you are a Christian witness first. You may be a teacher, but you are called by God first. You may have a business of your own, but you are first a Christian before you are a businesswoman. Let us not take it lightly. God placed us into this generation as a light and as a salt. And we cannot do that unless we consider our calling and we put it in front of everything else in our life. Then whatever the Lord has plans for your life, He will be able to fulfill it. You know, you want to get to heaven and you want to meet Jesus and you want Him to say, "I am so glad you followed my calling, you was faithful and you did everything that I called you to do in this generation." I don't know how long you are a Christian already. I am now 52 years old and I don't know how many more years I have. Truly, half of my life is already past. But I think I just started. And I want to be faithful until I see the Lord. And I think it would be a very important decision you could make, maybe today, tomorrow, this weekend, to put the Lord first in your life, His calling, to follow Him. And then you will be surprised what God can do with your life. You might think you are very insignificant, but see, it is not your ability, it is not your cleverness that counts. It is your total surrender, where God will fill you with His Spirit and He can do anything through you, what He planned. But most of the time, the hindrance why God cannot use us is that we have our hands so full of our own things, and He cannot give us nothing to do. This weekend, my prayer is that we put down the things we have in our hands and become free in our life to follow the calling that God has placed on each one of us. And I firmly, firmly believe God has a plan for each life. There is not one Christian without a job. We all have different ones, but each one of us, God has a job for you to do, for me to do in this generation. And I want to close here. And maybe we can pray together. Lord Jesus, we want to thank You so very much that soon we will see You face to face. Lord, we ask You that You open our eyes this next couple of days for what You have in store for us, the calling You have, that we will not take it lightly, but that we will follow You with all our heart, all the days of our life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.